Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On the line with us, I'm going to use this description because it was given to me by hockey analyst Keith Jones.
He's an expert.
He said, describe Riley Cote as the last enforcer in Flyers history. He is now involved with Body Check Wellness and a nonprofit Hemp Heals Foundation and Athletes for Care, Riley Cote. Hi, Riley.
What's going on, guys?
Riley, is that a good description? Could I call you the last Flyers enforcer?
Pretty damn close. I think Jody Shelley creeped in after me, but one of the last ones for sure. Yeah, no, it's definitely a dying breed back then. So, yeah, good description.
All right, we'll get into that in a minute, but you are now involved in managing pain and in helping people. Could you tell us how you got involved in this line of work, Riley?
Sure. I guess it stems back to my playing career. You know, I think getting punched in the face for several years probably contributed to it. But yeah, I mean, I've had my fair share of pain and inflammation and some mental health issues. And I recognized that there was a major issue with the way they were dealing with chronic pain, acute pain, and even mental health issues within sports in general. I'm not going to just isolate the hockey, but, you know, so I recognized there was an opioid crisis, an alcoholism crisis, mental health crisis, and I recognized that there was plant-based alternatives that were far superior to the protocols that we've been subjected to. So naturally, the way I was wired and am wired, I, you know, stand up for what I believe is right and just became vocal about cannabis and these, you know, these non-intoxicating cannabinoids like CBD and just, you know, kind of standing up to what I deemed was wrong and, you know, treating guys wrong. So that's kind of how I got into it back in 2010. And I started a nonprofit there right after 2011 called Hemp Heals Foundation. And just, you know, more raising awareness around the cannabis plant in general, what it can do for mankind, not just as medicine, but, you know, industrial resource, food and building material and so on. So it's just misunderstood. We've been kind of fundamentally misled and systematically misled through the politics of medicine, unfortunately.
Well, Riley, when you played, did they prescribe painkillers for you, and did you take them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think anybody that's gone through a surgery while they're playing, you definitely prescribed an opiate post-surgery. So, yes, I've been prescribed opioids several times, even, you know, just, you know, Tylenol 3s and some of these others, you know, other things that you're kind of just handed out on the plane and on the bus and whatnot. But I understand they're working with an empty toolbox or a, you know, quasi-empty toolbox. And, you know, that's kind of part of my mission is to raise awareness and education around this and say, hey, there's a better way, guys. We can do this in a much more sustainable fashion or, you know, looking at it from a general manager's perspective or the organization's perspective is we need to protect our players. If you're investing millions of dollars into these players, I mean, you don't want one of these guys leaving because they have a substance abuse issue because they were, you know, treating their pain with, you know, the wrong tools, you know. And then again, going to the alcohol, I know it's ingrained into the DNA of our society, but I mean, managing pain with alcohol is a deadly street too for most guys. I can't tell me how many guys have played with and or against that went through substance abuse programs for just alcohol, let alone the opioids. So, you know, I had a relationship, a negative one there for, pretty short stint, but I was able to nip it in the butt. And part of my exit strategy when I retired at the age of 28 was to escape that life. You know, I mean, I was a banger. I was going just as hard off the ice as I was going on the ice. And I just needed an exit strategy that, you know, kept me in the game, but I was able to heal and get into this world and kind of, you know, just bang the drum and try and help guys out that are currently playing.
You know, it's amazing about Riley. You were playing when Roy Halladay was playing here. You guys were both here at the same time. And I'm hearing what you're saying now, and I'm going, wow, if Roy Halladay had met Riley Cote back then, you might have had a plan for him. He might still be with us right now because he got hooked on the opioids really bad, was getting them even illegally. Riley, back in 11, in 12, in 13, did you know there was a better way? Would you have told Roy back then to do what you were doing to manage the pain?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was when I retired in 2010 is when I started to recognize the science that validated, you know, a lot of these anecdotal stories when it came to cannabis. So that was right at the start of my, you know, my mission and journey in this. So absolutely, with the knowledge I had at that time, I would have certainly talked to him about an alternative plant-based therapy versus, you know, a very toxic, highly addictive opioid. So I understand, you know, that a lot of these addictions stem from trauma, and, you know, the trauma is deep-seated somewhere within. And then obviously when you get onto some of these highly addictive substances, you know, the addiction just absolutely takes over. So, you know, there's obviously a deeper part of healing with this too. It's not just masking, you know, things with, you know, Band-Aids and, you know, yes, substituting an opioid with CBD or a cannabis-based product is far superior, but there still might be some lingering, you know, trauma that's there that, you know, needs to be dealt with too. So I think that, you know, there's kind of like the shorter term fixes, and then there's the longer term fixes as well. That, you know, healing is complicated. It takes a lot of work, a lot of discipline too. So, you know, I think yes, the Band-Aid fixes of just, you know, swapping out one for one is far, you know, far superior than an opioid if you can, you know, get into cannabis based product. But again, I think it stems much deeper. You know, you talk to, I mean, I do a lot of work with addictions and substance abuse and mental health issues. And there's one thing that's always connected is some sort of trauma, whether it's physical trauma, emotional trauma. And you don't have to go overseas and fight in wars to have PTSD and trauma. I mean, this stuff happens on domestic soil every single day. So just being honest with that conversation too, I'd absolutely have brought that up as well.
And go to bodycheckwellness.com. You get a lot more information on this. Now, Riley, this many years after your career, 10 years after you retired, do you still have pain from your career? Are there still injuries where you have a bad shoulder, bad knee, something like that, that still hurts?
You know what? I've been pretty damn fortunate, honestly. You know, there's a couple of my points in my body where I had surgeries on, a little bit of nagging, say, you know, they call it arthritis or whatnot, inflammation, but overall pretty damn good. I cannot complain. I'm staying on top of it now. Now I'm ahead of the inflammation and ahead of the pain, where back in the day I was behind it. So I was always chasing the dragon. So I think the whole thing is looking at your food as, you know, as an anti-inflammatory, or is it as an inflammatory, and looking at your medicines as an anti-inflammatory, because when you break it down at the end of the day, it's all about inflammation. So if you're talking about just a, you know, swollen knee or a disease state, it's inflammation. So just getting ahead of the inflammation, staying on top of it. But obviously, you have to be honest with this too, is that, you know, CBD and cannabis is a tool, and it needs to be integrated with a, you know, holistic lifestyle as well. So I'm into yoga and, you know, breath work and nutritional healing and all these other, you know, holistic healing modalities. So it's, you know, it's a kind of a package deal, but there's no question when I first got into the CBD and the cannabis, you know, with a real true intention behind it, understanding behind it, that it was night and day from what I was doing beforehand. So,
well, that's what I want to ask you about. Is it not ironic to you that in a hockey career, you doled out pain and now you manage it? Is that kind of weird to you?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too, because I look back at my, you know, my playing career, my life, and I always had a relationship with cannabis, but I didn't understand it, right? There was no, you know, medical system telling me that cannabis was good. There was no police force telling me that cannabis was good. My parents weren't telling me that. So I had to figure that out on my own. So my relationship with cannabis previous to me retiring, understanding the science behind it, was all on just a feeling. It was a gut feeling on that. That it was doing something positive for me. But, you know, obviously back then too, I had a lot of other bad habits, a lot of drinking, a lot of partying, a lot of other street drugs. So the cannabis was kind of just like, you know, a neutralizer at best. But then I understood the science behind it. Then it was kind of like, ah, I get it now. You know, I can validate the way I was feeling with the science here now. And then now I could be a, you know, an absolute proponent for this as a pain management tool, understanding it now. So yeah, it's interesting. You get your face punched in for a living, and, you know, you go through some hard times. You know, you're still feeling like you're on top of the world. You know, the hard times that I was going through, you know, compared to somebody's hard times, you know, I almost laugh at it. But, you know, it's still hard times are hard times, and, you know, they push you and put you where you need to be. And, you know, it's I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful for, you know, my short NHL career and all the punches I took, because without that and without the struggle and all that, I don't think I would be here to be able to help people here now today.
Well, I think it would really make the message stronger by talking about some of these punches. For example, Keach Oates told me to make sure I ask you about Andre Wa, that apparently you nailed him so bad that he was out cold. Do you remember that fight, Riley?
I do remember that fight, yeah.
Tell me what that was like when you hit him cold. What was that like?
Well, I guess, you know, I'm not going to lie. I guess in the moment it feels pretty damn good, right? I mean, you're on the winning side of knocking someone out. I mean, I look back now and I just, you know, that wasn't me. But that was also a job that I did, and I took pride in what I did. You know, I showed up every single night and at least tried to fight, if not fought, almost every other night. And that game specifically, I fought him earlier in the game in Philly, at home. It was an MS night. My sister was in town and she has MS, so you know I wanted to put on an extra big show. The first fight didn't go. It was an average fight. He got his arm loose and didn't go as well as I'd wanted it to. So we landed up fighting a second time, and almost exact same spot, exact same square up. I grabbed his lead hand, which was his left hand, and he tried to pull out just like he did in the first fight, and his arm got caught. So as his arm got caught, I was like, "Oh, you're done, buddy!" And I just went in and rocked him a couple times. So,
wait a minute.
It was awesome, you know.
Right, I'm hearing Keith Jones told me the whole story. And he said Tortorella, the coach, tried to get him out a third time.
He wouldn't put him on.
He wouldn't put him on. They wanted a third fight the same night. Were you aware what was going on the bench?
Yeah, so they kept showing the replay on the Jumbotron, and I was looking over there, and I could see him just steaming, right? Like, he was fuming. And then at one point, I seen Tortorella put him, like, in a chokehold to, like, settle him down. And I think he waited until, like, the next TV timeout and then hopped over the boards and then came over and challenged me at the bench there. But, yeah, he obviously wanted revenge. He was pissed off. You know, they kept rubbing in his face there, obviously, in Philly. And that was the end of it. That was the end of his career there in Tampa. They actually sent him home after that road trip, and he never played a game in Tampa the rest of that year.
Yeah.
Wow. The next thing I was told was that you learned some of your fighting skills because Craig Berube took you under his wing. Is that accurate?
Well, I think you could say that I learned a lot from Chief, having him as an assistant coach in the minors, assistant coach in the NHL, and briefly as a head coach in the minors. I just learned a lot about Chief as a human. You know what I mean? I wouldn't sit here and say that he taught me how to fight, or, you know, I mean, he gave me lessons, but I think it was more how he carried himself and, you know, just how, you know, his kind of like his quiet, tough, intimidating presence is, you know, something that I obviously acknowledged and admired. So I learned a lot from Chief, you know, both, you know, actual hockey X's and O's in the hockey game itself, and then also how to carry yourself as a tough guy. But yeah, no, Chief is amazing, amazing mentor for me, and I'm just so proud to see him have success there in St. Louis.
Well, last thing, Riley. Oh, go ahead.
Did you see the Probert documentary?
I've not seen it. I've seen the trailer several times. I've not seen it though, but.
Could you see? Yeah, you know what happened. Could you see if you hadn't straightened things out, so to speak, that you could have? That's an awful road to go down. That could have been you could have been heading toward that kind of a road.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think I recognized that in the moment how bad it was until I kind of pulled the pin on it all and started seeing it from a third party perspective of how much these guys were struggling. So, like, knowing, you know, Ryan Vandenbosch, who was a tough guy that I fought back, and he was Rob Probert's roommate. He told me all kinds of crazy stories. I'm like, geez, I'm so thankful that I was able to escape this thing, you know, virtually unscathed in the grand scheme of things, because not just Bob Probert. I mean, I'm on these phone calls once or twice a week here now with these retired tough guys and guys that have gone through substance abuse programs and the whole bit. And it's not pretty. You know what I mean? And it's what I've learned too is substance abuse is one big thing, but it stems back to a lack of identity. I think there's so much attachment to identity when you're taking on a role such as an enforcer, right? You're not just a hockey player. You're now the enforcer of a hockey team, right? So you have to carry yourself in this, you know, this real true leadership manner all the time. And you're the guy that they're kind of relying on when shit gets out of the, you know, hits the fan. But it's an identity crisis. Once you're done playing, it's not that these guys don't have enough skills and enough, you know, intelligence to find themselves. It's it's they don't know who they are, right? They've poured everything into this role,
yep.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, I got to be a normal human being in regular life, and they don't know how to do that. So again, if they're already dealing with substance abuse, well, that's just piled on even more, and then. Right. Just, you know, they're become lost, right? So
right.
It's hard to describe, but yeah, absolutely. I'm just so thankful that I was able to nip it in the butt, reel it in, and not go down that path, and now not even just not go down that path, but trying to prevent others from going down that path.
Rick, Riley, the last thing I want to mention to you, when you're talking to these other tough guys, does the name Keith Jones ever come up? No, Jonesy, look on YouTube, Riley. Jonesy has some great fights. Who did you tune up, Jonesy? Who did you get?
There. It's a lot of heavyweights. Joe Sacco.
Right.
Arias Kasparaitis.
He
big
crushed,
heavyweights.
He crushed
big
Sacco.
Riley.
He killed Sacco, Riley. Killed him.
Well, give yourself some credit, Jones. He did a hell of a job out there, man.
Yeah, I won
there
one
it
of
is.
Them. Yeah.
He had one win. All right, but Riley, thank you so much for this. Again, it's bodycheckwellness.com, and it's a great way. The lesson of Roy Holiday is there's other ways to deal with this pain, and Riley Cote has dedicated his life to it now and done a great job with it. Riley, thank you so much for coming on with us today.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, good Riley.
Time. See you, Riley.
You know what I love about this, Jonesy? That Cote is this very responsible human being now, helping so many people. He's got a nonprofit, all this. But when he goes back to the moment in a big fight where he nailed
oh, yeah.
the guy,
oh, yeah.
it's still a joyful experience
ended
to remember.
The guy's career in Tampa. Yeah. No, it was amazing. It was a tough kid, too.
And you know what? The fact of the matter is there's still joy in hitting a man.
Oh, yeah.
And
what a life, though, to have that on.
Wow.
Every time you go out
yeah.
there, you could be gone if you lose. I mean, it was... Man, the pressure.
You got to win. Those guys have to win.
There's nobody left who does that.
The pressure that.
There's one. There's a couple left.
Not many left.
But you have to be really able to play now.
Skill.
Ryan
yeah.
Reeves
yeah.
is the
yeah.
one.
All right. I like that manly approach. 215.
592.
I wouldn't do it myself.
You would buckle in a second.
No, I know I wouldn't, but I like that there's. I wish that role was still more
prominent. Have you ever hit anybody?
No, I have not. But you know what, Rhea? I'm ready. WIP. WIP Sports Time 8:17.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.